You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I'm a staff writer at IndyCornrows.com. And joining me because it is a Monday for our weekly show is the man of too many titles. Actually, wrote a great piece for 8.9 seconds about Trevor Ariza and his possible journey to Indiana, maybe. It's Mr. Tony East. Tony, they've been a pretty good run without Victor Oladipo, right?
They have, and it is blowing my mind. It shouldn't be blowing my mind, but it is, because every game they play the same way and it works, and every time I'm like, wow, it worked, and I don't know why I'm still like that.
So it blows my mind because I'm trying to remember, was it 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, when Paul Pierce called Victor Oladipo the loneliest superstar in the NBA, and it made you kind of think, okay, if they don't have him, what are they? Are they the Suns? Are they the Bulls, the Cavs, one of those teams? But then you don't have Victor Oladipo for 11 games, count the Hawks game, and essentially they have the sixth best win percentage since that run in the NBA, at least. They're not the sixth best team in the NBA, but they're a good team. They clearly have – they might not have a superstar at 2 through 9, but they have a lot of really good players, and their coaching is actually not as bad as, you know, I like to say on Nate McMillan.
Yeah, the strangest part to me is, like, Vic was all defense last year, and still without him, they have been playing just incredible defense. Like, the opposing team is shooting under 45% from the field since Vic went down. That is just crazy.
So we talked about before the show, and I am doing an article on this, so I have some stats.
Adam's
so,
the stats guy today.
So defensive rating in the 15 games with Vic, they have a 104.6 rating.
They're really good.
Now it's down to 100.3.
Wow.
So I was trying to figure out why they did that. So I looked at points off turnover, steals, what has kind of been up and down. Essentially, the only thing I can really find that's changed dramatically is their rebounding. Their defensive rebounding is up by about 5 rebounds, give or take. I think they're at 36 right now, and they were about 31 or 32 before Vic got hurt. That, and then I think the pace. They've picked up the pace. They're actually giving up, I think, a little more points per game, but it counter with the more possessions, it actually becomes a better overall rating.
Yeah, the defensive rebounding just means they're not giving up as many easy second chance points, right? That's what you're going for.
Yeah, but they're still giving up they're giving up, I think, in the paint, they're giving up actually more points. In second chance points, they're actually giving up half a point more, but they're just, I don't know where it is. It's really, I guess the rebounding in general has just been better. That's
Also, more rebounds just mean the other team is missing more.
Well, so I think they give it up, if you did it on a per possession basis for second chance points, they probably have it as a higher stat. It's just that in the actual raw numbers of they were giving up 10.6 second chance points before Vic got hurt and 11.2 now, it went up. But if you do it in a bubble of overall possessions, it actually probably is a lower rate of second chance points. Right. That's where it is. That's where I think the stats are, is that they've picked up the pace a tiny bit, and they combined that with better rebounding to bring – so the overall stats or the hard numbers look kind of worse, but the per-possession numbers look a lot better.
And it's been obvious that, Turner's been a better rebounder in this stretch than he was way before it.
Oh, he's been up, I think, 3 or 4 rebounds.
Yeah, he has, last night, would he have had a double-double every game this week if he got one more point last night?
I think so. So his defense, so he's up to, in this the 10 games he's played without Vic, to almost 9 rebounds, I think, before he's in the fives.
Yeah, 4.9. I just did Locked On NBA with Josh Lloyd. He's averaging over 8 rebounds a game over the last month. A month.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
We saw it in the Suns game where he's stepped up a little bit. I mean, he's it was kind of the question of, with Vic hurt, who would step up into his gap he's leaving? It's defensively, offensively. Offensively, it's been Bojan, essentially. I mean, you got some Holiday, who's playing obviously more minutes, so that's why he's getting his points. But Bojan is kind of taking that next step to go almost a 20-point a game scorer since Vic's been out. But defensively, it seems like it's a combination of Turner just continuing to be a better in-space defender, one-on-one defender at times, which is helping the defense overall, because Tyreek is kind of a drop-off defensively, obviously, from Vic. And rebounding, I mean, they're playing, I guess, a more clean game, I guess. They're not making as many stupid mistakes.
Yeah, they're passing really well. They've been over 20 assists, I think, every single game since he went down. Yes, that is accurate. Oh, exactly 20 against the Suns. Dang, not quite. They've been passing really well, which is a welcome thing for them. They had a game, remember when they had 16 assists against the Timberwolves and 19 against Portland? You know, sometimes their passing was worse earlier in the year, but that has really stepped up. I think throwing the ball around more really helps them. And I just feel like everyone's playing to the pinnacle of their power, pinnacle, peak, whatever. they're playing as well as they can basically without him, and it's working really well.
Yeah. So like the, so you got the Bojan and Turner, but really the two players too have sort of elevated their game, I guess, over the last 2 or 3 weeks has been kind of McDermott and Thad, right? McDermott on that West Coast road trip was
awesome.
The best player maybe on the team over that trip. I mean, him or Bojan was up there. Best offensive player, maybe? What
the bonus was the best offensive player, probably.
Did Sabonis not? Didn't he get hurt in one of the games?
I don't remember. Yeah, he was back against the Lakers. That's right.
Yeah, and then he didn't play well against the Kings, if I remember right. I think McDermott had, like, I think 2 or 3 20-point games that week. Yeah. But he's up to, like, 10.5 points a game. And then you got Thad, who's actually – so he's shooting 31% from three, which is not good. But considering where he was, it's better, right? He was at 16% in his first 15 games, so –
you know, at least this is different because it's hard to not compare him to last year. But if you're comparing him to earlier in the season, Darren Collison has stepped up a little bit too.
Yeah, the problem with Collison, and we can talk about with Evans too, is their field goal percentage is so low, which seems kind of ridiculous for guys who shoot or were at least shooting pretty high from 3-point percentage to have like almost the same 3-point percentage as field goal percentage, which never is a good sign for players.
Yeah. Those
numbers kind of are even. Unless you're only shooting threes, then it's kind of like, but for guards, usually it's not a good sign.
Yeah, and DC's getting to the line a little bit at least. Like, I don't know. But he's been better than he was. He had a really crummy stretch there for a while. And then I think the first Kings game to the last Kings game, he was much better.
Yeah, well, the thing is, too, he's probably their best clutch player left, right? I actually think in the game against the Kings they lost, they should have gone him and not Bojan. I know Bojan was playing really well, but like, I don't know. The minute I just like knew I could like script the plan, like Bojan's gonna get an open 10 footer and he's gonna miss just because it's Bojan. Like just because. I mean, it's just the way he is sometimes. Like he just, and but Collison has hit that shot a couple times.
Hit the three against the Kings, hit the game winner against the Bulls.
Last year, he hit the one against the Suns. Last year, he hit the one against the Heat. Like Collison is actually a pretty decent clutch player for when he only gets to play the clutch guy. Like what?
You have his clutch stats up. I might pull him up if you don't have him.
I don't have those sets up because I'm
doing all the his shooting percentages in the clutch, considering how bad his shooting has been this year.
Well, considering he probably gets what, like 3 shots every max over every like 20 close games they play or whatever. Yeah. I mean, like he doesn't get Collison has essentially either subbed out for Joseph in clutch situations or he's told to stay in the corner to create space for Vic.
Oh man, I'm taking my time because I'm bad at navigating NBA.com apparently. All right, in the clutch this year, Darren Collison is shooting 66.7% from the field. Oh my God.
What's Bojan's?
Bojan is 36.4%
shooting. See, I mean, Bojan's been great, but you can't tell me when you watched that Kings game the week and a half, 2 weeks ago now, that you were like, oh, Bojan's going to miss this shot. He didn't think that. Like, you know that was going to happen.
Shooting 44% from three. He just can't make twos.
I could just see that happen. I just saw it happen again before my eyes. And I thought,
it's funny because in my head, I was like, oh, he's been shooting really well. So maybe he'll make it. But no, he did not.
Yeah. Also, the key thing for the Pacers, too, has been their opponent's win percentage. So before the old winter, the teams had a combined record of 178-209 for like a 46% win percentage, which I'm counting in like their current records, not what they were when they played them, versus the teams they played over the last 11 games were 107-151, which is a 42% win percentage. So that's kind of been the difference. But then you factor in they went on the West Coast road swing, which is harder to do. But then again, they played the Suns, who are the worst team in the league. So there's all this stuff bouncing out, I guess, right?
Yeah. It's probably, I think it's about the same as their schedule with Vic, if you add in the West Coast trip, right? That's probably fair.
Yeah, it's probably a little bit worse, but it's not like this. It's not like they're playing teams that before Vic, I heard they were like 55%. Now it's 40%. It's like it's a slight drop off. And honestly, that drop off is probably because they played the Suns, who are literally have 21 losses.
Bad.
Like better 4-21. But then if you look at the upcoming schedule too, it doesn't seem as terrible. You know, you've got the Bucks and the Sixers, who obviously, but were really good, but. You know, even if Vic's healthy, you might lose those games anyways. But then it's like a combination of Washington, Knicks, Cleveland, and then they play Toronto on the 19th. So hopefully Vic's back by the 19th. I would have to guess he's not going to be out for like 2.5 more weeks or 2 more weeks, however long that is. I guess that's 10 more days, right? Today's the 9th already?
Yes, that is 10 days.
My time is all off. I think I just said the Kings game was 2 weeks ago when it was a week ago. But they should be able to beat the Wizards, Knicks, and Cavs without Vic still.
Yeah, I think so. The Cavs are not good. Although they did just beat the Wizards, who we're going to talk about soon, by 19 points. So
yeah, we don't want too much for the Wizards, but I think all three of those teams are bad enough that you should win without Vic. Consider you've been beating all the bad teams so far. You've been beating the Suns, the Jazz, the Magic, the Bulls, and the Kings.
Yeah, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly.
Do you think
my whole heart agrees?
The one maybe negative of the whole Vic injury.
Yeah, it's like the elephant in the room because like the whole team's been playing so good, so it like sucks to focus on this. But yeah, Tyreek Evans has not been good. Yeah, I don't know how to shake it. Like I don't want to say I can't be like, you know, it's not like his defense is like bad, but you sign this guy to be your secondary option or like the clamoring second score like we thought he could be, and now Boyan is that, ironically, but like he's been nothing on offense, like nothing.
So I guess maybe the best part of Evans is he's made everybody else kind of feel like they need to fight for their job, possibly, because right, all these guys between Joseph and who's playing really great this year and Bogdanovich and Evans is kind of like room for like one or two of them next season, right?
It has allowed us to appreciate Corey Joseph more, that's for dang sure.
Yeah, the question is Evans been as bad as Stevenson last year?
He's probably been as bad as Lance, yeah.
It's kind of close.
Stats aren't as bad as Lance's, but like if you add in like fan favoritism and things like that, he's definitely not been very
good. Yeah, I mean, I think Tyreek's worst stat has got to be the 3-to-10-foot shot where he's shooting 25% from the field.
Oh my gosh, his shooting at the rim is just terrible.
It's under 50%.
Yeah, terrible. His turnover percentage, you'll be shocked to know that's a career high. You're not going to be shocked to know because you see it happen all the dang time.
Well, you know it's bad. Like I said before, it's bad.
His percentage is a career low. Like that, you know, it seems like he gets tunnel vision just so much.
Yeah. Well, you know it's bad for a guard when your three-point percentage is, like I said before, same as your overall field goal percentage. Like that's not a good sign. Unless you're shooting 50% from three. I mean, it's just like Bojan's right is pretty close to each other, but that's because he's shooting like a ridiculous 3-point percentage.
Ridiculous 3-point
percentage. It's like, that's just not a good sign. I mean,
no, he's shooting better from three than two, isn't he? Am I wrong? I don't remember.
He's shooting about even 36.5% from three and 37% from two. He's, like I said, it's almost dead even in terms of that, which is really bad. I mean, that's really bad for a guy
Are
who.
Are we at the point? So I have a Tyreek question.
Yeah.
Are we at the point of the season where we need to recalibrate our expectations about what he actually is going to be for this team? Like, should we now say, okay, if Tyreek scores more than 10 points and has less than 3 turnovers, that's a good game for him?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think was there ever the expectation of him to score 20 or 15 a game? I think it was just to be
It was like 15, right? That's what I thought. Maybe, I mean, I'll admit.
I didn't have that high because he's playing a bench role. You don't ever know. I imagine that he would come and just be a steadying hand off the bench.
Just yeah,
like the guy that kind of helps with Sabonis in a way better way than Lance was last year, but he just hasn't been.
Right. It's so weird.
The question is really, have we reached the point where he's been kind of at a level where it's worth just playing Holiday over him because you get the young guy more minutes?
It seems like the other dudes like playing with Tyreek, and you know they don't grumble about giving him the ball, or it's just like something doesn't click with him, and I don't know what it is. I cannot.
Look who he's playing with most of the time. It's Sabonis, Joseph, McDermott, and either like Thad or Bojan or Oladipo when he was healthy, right? I mean, now it's Holiday a little bit, but like when originally off the bench at least, and like McDermott should be complaining about his shot attempts because they should be a lot higher than they are. Sabonis is getting his stuff, and Joseph doesn't complain about anything because he didn't complain about Lance last year either.
Yeah, yeah. Sabonis has gotten what he wanted. I just can't quite figure out why because. And even his pull, like off the dribble three, seems like it's almost as effective as last year. You know, that's kind of the thing that makes him dangerous still. But I feel like eventually teams are just going to be like, okay, this dude's like not that good. Like, let's give him all the space he wants.
Yeah, you want to. So his plus minus in the if you look at his plus minus since the 11 games of Vic, he's got basically the worst in the team because the only guys below him are Edmund Sumner and Elise Johnson. So if you factor out all those guys who have played less than let's say 6 games, he's the worst. With Leaf actually ahead of him in his 8 games in 7 minutes.
His 2-point attempts per game are a career low. His 3-point attempts per game are his lowest since he was a Pelican. So he's just not getting as many shots as he's used to. Granted, he's not playing as much as he's usually used to at the same time. But I wonder a little bit if there's something like a I need to get my shots up kind of thing going on with him.
I wonder that too. Because
like an expiring contract kind of guy, you know.
He doesn't. This was a problem, I think, that Pritchard had talked about, and that's why he didn't sign a ton of new guys because he didn't want to ruin the ecosystem the team had of just like everybody was playing well together. They understood each other's games. Like there was this like kind of group mentality over like team mentality over player individual mentality with the team, right? And so that's why he was kind of afraid to looking for certain free agents to kind of continue that mentality. That's why he probably went after Reddick, because Reddick kind of has that mentality. Reddick, I don't think he's necessarily worried about his individual stats. He's worried
Reddick
about
fits into any system too.
Exactly. It's who's winning games. McDermott, kind of the same thing, where McDermott, McDermott's on such a long-term deal that he doesn't worry about his day-to-day stats. He worried about, okay, am I contributing to this team today? Am I helping us win games? Am I playing with these guys, making guys, everybody better? With Evans, he took a chance, right? He brought him in because they had this extra $12 million in space or $14 million in space, whatever it was. And they were like, all right, let's take a chance on a guy who has this kind of upside, could be the perfect number two behind Oladipo, could be his backup when he's hurt and be kind of the guy who fills in when he's hurt so they can win games. And unfortunately, they took the risk and it's not paying off. And, you know, is it wrong to say we're only, you know, 26 games in, and because, you know, that everybody else had already played with each other, that they all know what to do and he doesn't yet? Or is it like he's just not fitting with this team and it's time to move on?
Yeah, it's really tough to say. And he talked to Mark Monteith, and I really believe this, but I just don't know how long it takes to get acclimated to the situation. He said he's not used to running this many set plays, you know, and he played with Anthony Davis and he played with the Kings, who don't do anything until this year, apparently. And then in Memphis last year, they just told him to do whatever he wanted. Like, I don't think he's used to playing such a rigid style. I think he's used to, like, remember that game, that stretch he played okay, and it was like the story was Nate McMillan told him to play like the Philly style. I think he's more used to that like street ball free flowing type than the rigid run play set shots thing. And now when he's forced to run a possession race to, you know, go through reads and make timing, like well-timed cuts and stuff, he's just not used to that. And I would hope that as the season goes on, that's something he can get acclimated to and be useful in. But at the same time, we're at 26 games and it has not happened at all. So who knows?
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, when you watch him do kind of the street ball mentality play, he screws it up every time. I mean, I'm thinking about that Lakers game where he had like a couple of sequences of like three straight turnovers on steals, like where it was all free playing basketball with no set. It was like he got a steal, was a fast break, and like one ball he threw off the front end of the rim on one of those plays, like
in his own hand. That was so weird.
Yeah, like it feels maybe he's just stuck in this middle place where he's trying to fit in, but he's still trying to hold on to some of what made him really good before, and he can't kind of find the right balance. And I was thinking, you're right, maybe we should kind of give it until after Christmas. I mean, right, in the NBA they said the season start till after Christmas. You get confused because the NBA season starts so much earlier this year that there ends up being a lot more games before Christmas. But, like, if he's not there by, let's say, February, which is the trade deadline, maybe he's worth kind of moving on from. But I guess right now you still need to figure out. And it's ironic because we thought he was going to be the guy when Vic's hurt, which we thought would happen, that's going to step in and help this team, you know, ride the ship to Vic injury. Ironically, he hasn't done that, but the team has still rode the ship without him. So it's amazing to think if he could actually fit in, this team could be like 9-2 without Vic or something ridiculous like that. And they could be even better when Vic's back.
Yeah. And I like I said, like, I don't know if I want to reset expectations because then he'll fit in all of a sudden. And
I don't, even if you reset them, he's still not fitting in. He's still shooting.
No.
Shooting terrible from inside the, you know, I think like low expectation wise, you expect him to be what, a low mid 40s shooter inside the 3 feet or something like that, or whatever his 2-point percentage is, at least mid 40s, right?
Yeah. His whole career has been mid 40s. This year it's 37.
Yeah, he's just not been good.
No, I just mean like when I reset my expectations, I'm like, okay, now Aaron Holiday is going to play more. Like, these are things I want right now. But then if he plays well, now I'm wasting my time thinking about Holiday and stuff like that. Like, I don't know when the right time to finally punt on my own stuck in the mud situation is. It's no one's fault but mine. I'm just musing out loud. But like,
well, what's ironic about Holiday is, He's not playing fantastic.
He had some rookie moments recently.
Yeah. He's not terrible on D where he can push himself. Like, you know what I mean? He's kind of has that rookie mentality of like, I have to just work my ass off to kind of stay on the court, which is just fine. That's like what you want. Shooting wise though, he's not been great, but like when you look at everybody else, he hasn't been that much, you know, in terms of like the, of even if you take Vic and Evans, where like Vic has this kind of not great 3-point percentage for a guy of him, cause he has to take all these shots. Cause he's kind of the go-to shot guy. So what Holiday has done is kind of just absorbed some of Vic's shots and kind of been putting up worse numbers, but not like significantly worse numbers than Vic did in terms of like on a percent basis. But the question is that if you just took Holiday and gave him all Evans shots, would he put up similar numbers to Evans? Like, would maybe he might be not be at 36% from three, but he'd be from 42% from two and or whatever. What's he at right now? He's at 56% from two. I'm sorry. And maybe he'd be at like 30% from three, which would be enough to actually make it worth it.
Why is Evans so bad at finishing at the rim? It just makes no sense.
It honestly doesn't, to be honest. I don't know. He's right. Isn't he 6'6"? He's, you know, he's got a nice little Euro step fake.
When did he get hurt really bad? You remember?
Yeah, but last year he was closing the rim all the time. So since the injury, he's been fine.
No. Last year he was only 54% at the rim. Like in his career, didn't he get a really bad injury? Because his first four seasons, he was like 60% or better at the rim. And then since then, he's been like 55 and lower.
He must have got hurt in one of those New Orleans years.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't really know. I know he's been hurt a lot, but I don't know exactly what it is. But maybe something happened that made him like contact averse or something.
But it's not even contact averse. It's like the inability to figure out how to get like his
balance. They're just
his balance and his hands go off the glass, right? Like he gets in the spots. He just then ends up throwing it off the glass really badly.
Yeah, it's weird. Like he could time a pass really well in that exact situation, but instead he takes a weird wild shot.
Yeah, he's not looking for guys. Not so
big. Not anymore. No. All right, we've dumped on Tyreek enough in this situation.
Is there anything else you should talk about with their this last week? I guess they went 3-0. That should be something we should be proud of. They went 3-0 this week.
They did go 3-0, and neither of us thought they would. We both said 2-1, so that's good. Thad Young's hitting shots. That's good. You know why he's hitting shots at him, don't you?
I don't. Tell me why.
Because I just wrote about how his jump shot is broken.
Of course you did.
So that's encouraging. What did he have, 2 or 3 threes against the Kings? That was good.
He had just one, but he took
a really? Hit. I thought maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it was the Magic game. He played really good defense on Aaron Gordon in that game too. But that's been nice. Corey Joseph just looks like someone, like a chicken with his head cut off in a good way. He's just flying around everywhere. Some fun stuff. Fun stuff going on.
Yeah, should Joseph.
Kylo Quinn was awesome.
Should Joseph be starting?
I wondered that. Like at the two. Yeah, I wondered that.
Yeah. I mean, Sabonis didn't have a great week. I mean, he didn't play one game on a back-to-back, and he was okay, so he didn't have like any of his superb off-the-chart
games. He gets a pass for having food poisoning. That had to suck.
Is that what he had now?
Yeah, didn't someone say they had seafood? Him and McGill had seafood together?
Oh, my God, Sabonis.
I laughed at that headline. I think it was Scott who said it. Scott Agnes. I laughed at that.
I don't think I saw that. I must have missed that. Do you remember last year he had a cold for like 3 straight weeks?
Yeah. We can't gloss over it. Kylo Quinn was really good when.
I didn't.
That third center, he was real good. That's nice to have. That's a luxury.
No, it is. And he comes off the bench and he doesn't feel like he's going to like not be able to stay on the court. Like old Al Jefferson, unfortunately.
Oh, he plays good D around the basket, at least. He's a good passer, good rebounder, good third center. One of the best two third centers in the league.
How many teams have a – I'm trying to think.
Ekpeyudo is the only other one I know, and he's really good.
Like, the Magic have, like, 7 centers, technically, right? I mean, Vucevic is a center.
But like, Mo Bamba obviously will end up better than Kylo Quinn. But right now, Kylo Quinn's probably better than their backup Mo Bamba, so.
Yeah, but I mean, they've got Jonathan Isaacs too, right? Yeah. He's a center, isn't he? I mean, the Magic have a plethora of guys who could beat cold centers.
It's so weird because all season I've been like, cool, the Magic have been playing good. I can't wait to see them. And then they were not good.
Yeah, they just smoked. The Pacers, what's weird is without Vic, they still are doing the same thing they do to every bad team. They just figure it out and how to get up by about 10 or 15 points and just maintain that lead most of the game, yep. I felt like.
Yeah.
Like, besides that Kings game last week where they just went back and forth, you know, they take care of business, it seems like, most nights.
You want to talk about some upcoming basketball games?
Yes, we should. The one thing we should say too is part of the reason their winship might be just because they own the Jazz. They just own the Jazz for some reason.
The Corverless Jazz. Astro.
Oh, good. Okay. All right.
No, I mean, think it's a blessing. Like, they got to play the Jazz both times before they got Corver. Isn't that crazy?
And without Oladipo, they just own them. Like 30-point wins both times.
Yeah, the combined win total was exactly 60. Yeah, they just dismantling.
Yeah, I mean, Corver could have been there, and they're still going to dismantle.
I know. It was crazy.
I don't know what it is, but we should say that our boss for our podcast is a Jazz play-by-play guy. Man, I would have loved to. Oh, you were in there for one of the games while he was there.
I sat next to him, and they were in Indy.
He was probably just kind of like, oh, this sucks.
I know. You can hear the life come out of his voice.
All right, let's take a quick break, and then we'll preview this week's games. All right, welcome back again to the Locked On Pacers podcast. Since there are 4 games this week, the Wizards, Bucks, 76ers, and Knicks, Tony and I are going to break this up and do 2 of the games right now. Obviously, the Monday and Wednesday game. Going to come back to you guys on Friday with our the weekend pod together to kind of preview the last 2 games. So just so you know, we're only doing 2 games now. That means the first game the Pacers play, which will be tonight, in this podcast on Monday, is the Washington Wizards, who are one of the most dysfunctional franchises in the league, on the precipice of a complete utter collapse. Maybe, you know, they made a little bit of improvements. They were 3-9, I think, when they started the year.
It's so weird because you're absolutely right. Like, they still are chemistry number, but like 11-15 is not like that bad. It's just that they should be so much better.
Yeah, I mean, they should be where the Pacers are, honestly.
Yeah, and, yeah.
And if they were going to be a team to compete for the East crown, per se. Do you have the numbers up, or you want, I have them up if you want me to do them?
I have the B-ball reference. Not great, but okay enough. Numbers up. 17th in offense, 27th, yuck, in defense, and 8th in pace.
Yeah, they're just – they've. We're noting that their expected win loss is 9-17, so they actually are performing above expectations of their numbers, at least.
Yeah, yeah. They just got Sam Decker. That's interesting, I guess.
Listen to you go.
Yeah, wait, the Pacers played two of the three teams in that trade, like back to back. That's interesting.
Isn't Decker not going to play, though?
He didn't play against the Cavs, who were his former team, ironically, but I think he'll play this time, won't he?
Oh, I guess. I thought he's listed as sprained ankle on the
eighth. Oh, he might have an ankle injury. I do see that now. Maybe he's out. I didn't know
It's worth noting Dwight Howard will not be playing this game. He's been out for a while with a back injury.
Wizards starting center, IU grad Thomas Bryant. Amazing.
Really? He's starting at
center. 10 starts for Thomas Bryant this year.
Wow. Remember when at one point when he was going to be like a top 10 pick and he came out to college, maybe top 15, and he went second round?
Gosh, that made me sad.
He's the lesson of don't ever – I mean, unless you really don't care about the money – don't ever return to college if you're going to be a first round pick.
Well, year he's probably gave himself at least two or three more years of a career. Like,
I mean,
okay.
What's his kind? I mean, I'm trying to think. He must have.
He got a two-year minimum deal with the Lakers, and then they traded him, or no, they cut him. But because it was a minimum deal, the Wizards were able to claim him, and they did. And
he got one more year after this.
I think no. His first year with the Lakers was year one, and
he'll be a free agent at the end of the season. What you're saying.
72. I'm sorry. I'm talking too fast. 76.2%. 2-point shooting. Like, he's finishing all really well.
So he could possibly get like a Kyle Quinn contract, right?
Yes. Pacers third center Thomas Bryant. They're gonna draft Romeo and sign Thomas Bryant. I'm just gonna be the happiest guy ever.
Well, I'm not saying that for the Pacers. I'm saying in general, he get $4 billion is a lot of money. What I'm saying. The money.
We're not talking about the Wizards, but this is fun. IU basketball just had the psychest week, like 3 sick clutch wins, and I'm just so hyped on IU basketball right now.
All right. Calm down. I was just laughing at Thomas Bryant for not going pro enough, and you made
it. I know.
IU praise.
It's a shame. It is really. So the Wizards.
Yeah, go ahead. You got something on the Wizards?
Yeah, I'll talk about the Wizards. They are not getting as much from Otto Porter this year, and I think that is not understated. But really, here's a crazy thing. Beal, 32% from three. You know, he and Otto Porter combined are both like under league average, and I think that's a really big thing for them because those two shooting really propped them up last year, in the last 2 years, really. And a lot of Wizards people would call it, quote-unquote, the Wall effect at times because he's so good at setting guys up. But if you just saw Haberstroh as the big number, Wall's been kind of lackadaisical sometimes this year. Not all the time, but sometimes. And the Wall effect is kind of diminishing, and those guys' impact has been mitigated, and their offense just hasn't been great.
It's spacing, too, right?
Yeah.
Oh, a lot of it is spacing.
They changed up their starting lineup, too. Like Kelly Oubre started a few games at the four. Jeff Green started a game. Thomas Satoransky started a few games.
Morris is starting now at the four, right?
I think with Bryant, they've had Morris, but they had Oubre a few times. I just said it, but I don't know who started their last game, but they've been mixing it up a bit because Morris has been better off the bench, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I think the 3-point percentage is the really difference with this team. You look at it, right?
It's low.
You got a Wall at 31%, which is pretty bad.
27th in the league right now.
Yeah, that's not good. So they started Satoransky at the four, sort of. I guess maybe they played Porter at the four.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, they're trying to get the spacing right? Because I think that's part of the problem. They just can't I would say, just from last year's stats, Beal is one of the best 25 players in the league and maybe one of the better off the dribble 3-point shooters on Vix. In terms of he's on Vix level of kind of where I see those guys.
On offense.
But he might even be a little better on offense than Vic is, to be honest. He's just not a good defender. So it seems odd to me this year. And the only thing I could also say for that is it seems like there's a lot of animosity in the team with who got paid what and who is not stepping up to make worth the contract. I'm talking about Otto Porter, who's making almost the same amount of money as Beal, if not actually more than him, and clearly not been playing at a high enough level to deserve that kind of money. Wall's contract is the biggest kind of thing looming over this entire team for the next 5 years or 4 years, because he's going to make $40 million starting next season. Like, I don't know. At some point, they're going to blow up this team, and I don't know whether it's they just want to go down with the ship at the end of the year and say, screw it, we're going to – like, there is a path where you say, well, they just run it back. They end up finishing as, like, a top 10 pick, get a player, and they build around that guy in the next three, right? Like if they could – if you kind of take the Pacers back to the Miles Turner draft where, like, when Paul George got hurt, the idea was, oh, okay, well, we'll run it back the next season, and we'll have that 11th overall pick, and we'll see what happens. And it kind of – Turner became a pretty good NBA player, so it kind of worked out. So maybe that's their – their thought process, but I don't know. I ultimately feel like this team is going to do something at some point in terms of trading.
Yeah, I don't know when they will, but I agree that I think they will.
Yeah, I think they just don't know how to do it because Wall's contract is almost untradeable in a sense that you can't get anything valuable back for him. You're kind of just trying to get rid of the money, I think. And then with Beal, you can get something back for him, but then you're kind of sacrificing your team of any success over the next three seasons or whatever how long this contract's for.
So for this particular game, it's fun to talk about It's fun to talk about the Wizards generally just because everyone saw this implosion coming and then it happened. Going at Thomas Bryant is a great way to score because as much as I just hyped him up, he's not a great defender.
So Sabonis might have some – having a game where Thad Young, even if they get kind of switched onto him.
Yeah. Mahinmi is okay around the basket, but he's slow. Like they have options to get some good post points, and a lot of the team doesn't try anyway, so – I look forward to a good Pacers offensive game, which means now they're only going to score like 80 points.
Yeah, I mean, they've been on a nice little tear offensively, the Pacers have been. I mean, defensively, the Pacers have been incredible, like we talked about, but they had a nice little run in the past couple weeks of scoring. I think they scored, 112 against the Magic and 107 against the Kings. Like, they've been putting up points, certainly. Yeah. I guess Billion's going to have a good game, I would assume. He's been playing great for why would that stop now, I guess.
Revenge game.
Oh, yeah, it is a revenge game. This is the team he wanted to give him a four-year, $50 million deal, which in hindsight, I'd have been better off giving him that deal than to Otto Porter. Just saying.
Yeah.
Would you rather have Otto Porter at whatever he's at versus Bojan at 4 years, 50?
Ooh.
Right now.
Porter, absolutely. That scenario, Porter, yeah.
Okay, well, no, because I think the thought was when Bojan put the free agent last two seasons ago, his idea was he wanted 4 years, 50. And the Wizards wouldn't give it to him. I don't know. I might take that contract over the $27 million you're paying on a Porter right now.
I'm a big Porter guy. You know that.
I know you're a big Porter guy, but Porter sucked this year.
No, he is not, actually. He's been okay.
Okay.
Still having a good impact, just not shooting as well. And the shots will eventually fall, and all the little stuff will still happen.
See, you're too much of an optimist.
Yeah.
You know what? I might just put your two favorite guys against each other. So I don't know. I may have just put you in a really bad situation, to be honest.
It's unfair.
I thought you would take – I mean, I don't know. If you take Bojan's this year, last year, and the next 2 years, it's going to be pretty good at a lot less money.
Yeah.
It's not – I agree, Porter, defensively.
The whole, like, yeah, that whole defense stuff.
But Bojan's been damn good, man.
He has. He really has. Right? This current stretch, he's been the better player. There's no doubt.
Yeah. I don't know. Porter's last year pretty good, right?
He was – huh?
Porter's stats are really good. So
real good last year.
But through this first 20-something games, he's been better.
Porter, again, Porter's doing all like the little stuff he usually does that makes him good. He's just not making shots. And that matters a lot. Like, I'm not saying that
it's kind of what do they call the NBA? Oh, it's a make or miss league because it's kind of like if you don't make shots, you don't win games. That's kind of how it works.
League. Yes, exactly.
And right, because how can you win games if you don't score points?
And the Pacers are making teams miss.
They are. Anybody else looking for on the Pacer side to kind of explode, I guess?
Well, have we done like Butchers and X-Factors?
Well, I think Butcher-wise is going to probably be Beal, right?
Beal, yeah. Going at Reek.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Reek's not like bad on D. That's an appropriate reaction because Beal's really good, but he's not bad.
Yeah, but Beal's a really good player.
Beal's a really good player.
I remember going to a Wizards game 2 years ago. The Pacers won, and Beal had a game-winning shot, and I thought, like, it was just scary. It was so scary in the moment. I'm like, he's going to nail this thing. He had like half a second to make the shot, and he basically just barely missed it. But he's just such a good shooter. He's just such a good shooter.
Beal's shooting 75% at the rim.
So Turner's going to have some impact in this game then, hopefully.
Yeah, he's going to – yeah. They especially love to flash with Wall and Beal.
Especially if Bryant can't drag him off away from the basket. Might have a lot of Turner just sending Beal back or foul call ultimately probably.
Yeah, that'd be really nice. Third game in four nights, though. A Tony East special to focus on. Scary.
For the Wizards?
For the Pacers.
Oh, yeah. That's right. They have Sunday's a nice little rest day. They'll be fine.
I hope, yeah. It's their first day in town. No travel. It's good stuff.
Well, no. They were in town on Saturday. The Pacers were in town Saturday. They've been home since Friday night.
Yeah, they played a game Friday.
Yeah, then they got home Saturday. Oh, you mean first day like off in town? I got you.
The day that we're talking right now is their first rest day at home.
Like, yes, yes, yes. I thought you meant like they've been at home since Saturday.
Oh, no, no, no. Friday evening. Yeah, they probably, yeah, Friday night probably. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's fine because I don't know. I don't know if they've been playing pretty deep. So it's not like they've been playing guys with different amounts of minutes, right? I mean, you look at the Magic game they played Bojan. So they play Thad 38, but they play Thad plays 38 every other night. I feel it's like, so I'm not that. But they play Bojan 29 and 28.
Man, what does that say 31. About me, though? Man, so sad.
What? That they have to play that is young 70 effing minutes?
He did suck in his minutes against the Magic to bounce back. Like, he was all right.
Yeah.
The bar for him is so low, though.
Yeah, it is. X factor wise with the Pacers, we kind of hit on it, right? So Mom, Turner's going to be able to hit the rim. Yeah. You're going to have. So bonus in turn can be X factor in terms of scoring wise, or Thad Young even actually.
Yeah. Yeah, they have okay wing defenders though. Like, I don't think Bojan will be able to be as effective as he could be.
Yeah, I don't know. Bojan's been really good.
Thad are pretty. Yeah, it's true.
Like Bojan is just. I mean, you cannot, the way it's been recent. You can't even like give him a second. Like, he is just finding little creases everywhere to drain shots.
He is. He absolutely is.
I mean,
Corey Joseph against dudes that aren't trying will be funny.
Yeah, I mean, and the whole bench should thrive. The bench of the Wizards is pretty bad.
Oh man, what a fun! I have a feeling this game's gonna be fun.
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping if like Beal has like 45 points, but they lose by like 10, and there's all this talk about Beal should leave his team, or you know probably that conversation. Talk about Jeff Green for a second. He's actually having a pretty good year so far.
Jeff Green is a weird NBA player.
He's up and down. He's the kind of guy you from afar you want, and then you get on your team and you don't want.
Yes, no one is ever sad about losing Jeff Green, but he's not like a bad player.
No, he might just want his guy who thinks he's better than he is and always kind of screws things up.
Yeah, he's almost 50, 35, 90 right now, which is pretty good.
Yeah. We should talk about how the Dwight curse continues to
it's not even his fault this time though.
It's not even his fault, but he's like, he just him being anywhere. Like, remember, he left, he got traded from the Hornets, who are now actually a decent NBA team. It's just the curse of just coming to a team and
moving. No sense. It just makes no sense.
I mean, it does everywhere else, but now it's sort of like, this reason, I don't know. I mean, I don't think I blame him.
No, it's funny now because it's not his fault, but it still happened. You know, it's just like, well
it's kind of like the Madden curse forever. Like, someone would get hurt on the cover of Madden. At some point, it stopped being the Madden curse, ended up being that the NFL, everybody gets hurt, but like,
dude, we need to talk about how Peyton Hillis was on the cover of Madden one time.
Ugh, that's the worst.
That guy was not that good.
He had a good year.
He had one good year.
Do you think they're going to beat the Wizards?
Yeah, I do.
How? By how much?
You have two high-powered guards, which sometimes that combo, as we saw with Portland, does well against the Pacers. Even when Vic plays, so I think it could be a close game, but I still think they win.
Wow, you just compared Wall and Beal to McCollum and Lillard. Wow.
Yeah, that's not that far off, is
not
it?
Not with Wall. The way Wall is playing. That's
Wall's going to be an All-Star this year. Come on.
Is he going to be an All-Star this year?
Yeah.
Is that more indication of how bad the East is or how good Wall is?
He's averaging 20-8. Like, his demise has been greatly exaggerated.
He's shooting 43-31. And 67.
Yeah, his threes are bad. He's shooting 49% from two, which is fine. He's just shooting
under 70% in the free throw line.
Why is he shooting five threes a game? That's John Wall's biggest problem right now.
Yeah, he has like a
basic. Because he's doing everything else pretty well. He's just
He has a 2-1 turnover to assist ratio as well.
Yeah.
That's not great. That's not great, Tony.
Not great, Bob. Not great, Bob. He's gonna be an All-Star. I'm almost 100% sure he'll be an All-Star.
I don't think that means anything in the East, to be honest.
Being an All-Star means something.
I mean, there's like what?
The 10 of them mean something, and then like Goran Dragic gets in. Like,
Wall's going to get the Dragic spot.
The Dragic spot, yeah.
I mean,
funny last year. Who got hurt? Who was it that got hurt? Oh, Kevin Love got hurt and couldn't play, and everyone's like, who the hell are they going to pick?
And remember Jimmy Butler didn't place too in the game? They should have had somebody else. Who was the guy in the West that should have gotten it? Mitchell, right? Did he not get in?
No, it was like Lou Williams, I think.
Oh, right. It was Lou Williams who was like, couldn't get in, and Butler didn't even play the game because he probably was out partying too much the night before.
Oh, what a
big indication of where Butler was heading with his career in Minnesota, at least. I think they win as well, and I'm really, really hoping Vic comes back, because the next game we have to talk about, the Pacers definitely need Vic.
Whew. Yes. Should we do a break before the Bucks?
Yeah, I had teased it up perfectly, and you ruined that, man.
Sorry.
All right, so the Pacers' second game of the week and the last game we're going to talk about on the Locked On Pacers podcast is the Milwaukee Bucks game. The Bucks, are they the second best team in the league right now? In the East, at least? Or not league, league East.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
They are they tied with the Raptors record-wise, or is it like one assist?
No, the Raptors have a much better record, but their expected win-loss is actually better than the Raptors. Isn't that crazy?
The Raptors have won a lot of weird games, right?
Yeah. So, Adam, Bucks very good, obviously. Last seven games, 3-4.
Oh, but they played the Warriors in one of those games, right?
Yeah, they did.
What's the last seven
games? Dre, though. It's not like the Warriors, but yeah.
It's not the Warriors, but Steph and KD are both playing.
So the George Hill Bucks, though, new team.
Oh my god,
he's much better than anything they'll ever get from Delly. He can play both guards. It's not like he's gonna help them, right?
Yeah, I think so. Is he healthy?
You never know. I mean, never know.
I agree. I mean, Delly gave up nothing, so it's fine. But I'm just saying, is he healthy?
I don't know.
Also worth noting. A Tony special. It'll be the Bucks' third game in four nights.
Yeah, I was just looking at that. They had a back to back on the B-ball ref thing. I was like, oh, they have a back to back, but no. Yes, it's their third and four nights, and on the road. Tough.
Yeah, but they played in Cleveland night before, so.
Oh, it doesn't even matter.
I'm sorry, you're making a point about Dellavedova, and I cut you off.
Yeah, no, I was making a point about George Hill. Even if he's like cobbled, I feel like he's better than Pat Connaughton. And Pat Connaughton's been okay this year, but George Hill's better. Like, he just is.
Yeah, so stats-wise, the Bucks are
in
offensive rating and fourth in defensive rating. No, you're fine. I want to do
they're
it. Third in
pace. They're real good.
they're scoring the most points per game in the league at 120.
It's funny because when they just rolled over the Pacers in game two of the year, I was like, oh, it's because it was their home opener and like they were just jazzed up. And then
no, it's because they're just rolling over teams in general.
Stupid good, yeah.
Giannis is on his way to either – At least a top three MVP season.
Top three. Yep.
Him, Embiid. Who else is the other one out there? LeBron's
up there. Steph's up there. Yeah.
Steph has got to get back because he missed so many games. But
yep.
It's crazy. Yeah, Giannis is on his way to maybe when, especially if they get the one seed, being an MVP.
27 points, 13 rebounds, 6 assists on 57.7% shooting. That's just nuts.
And barely shoots the three. Barely shoots the 3-point shot. Can't even hit a jumper, really.
I know, 10% right now, 10.7% from three, and somehow he's still this good. It's insane.
Yeah, I mean, the best way to beat
6-for-56 from three, we would be like, all right, sit him on the bench forever. But Giannis, it's like he's so good.
Well, yeah, because he's shooting 65% from two, like you said. I mean, like he's really the only player in the league who doesn't have to shoot a 3-point shot and still be the most effective player in the league.
It's crazy how good, and his defense is amazing too. Like amazing.
He's called the Greek freak for a reason because he's got an incredible his length and his athleticism is just incredible. I mean, it's dumbfounding.
No one talking about anyone else as a butcher because it's Giannis. He's so good.
Yeah, Middleton's not terrible.
No, Middleton is good. I don't want to demean anyone else on the Bucks. Middleton's averaging 21.3 points per 36 this year. He's actually scoring pretty well.
So this is the game, right? I tease it, but that we need Vic to play. Otherwise, the Pacers are going to lose.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't you don't have like your best wing defender when you're playing Giannis and Middleton is kind of tough.
Yeah, it's a little bit tough.
This would be a game, if you're going to do it, this is the game to like make the Corey Joseph start over Tyreek move.
Yeah, I mean, plus I say to beat the Bucks, you have to beat their bench by a lot. Like you have to just take like I think the last game the Pacers got killed in their first unit, remember right? They start the game but bench came back and helped them get back in the game a little bit in the second half.
Imagine playing a team where you have to come back against the lineup George Hill, Dante DiVincenzo, Tony Snell, Ersan Ilyasova. Like that is such a good bench.
I mean, is it that good of a bench?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Sabonis is still the best player if you play him on the court.
Yeah, he is. But they have a good bench.
Joseph might even be the second best player out of those guys, right?
Bench is better, but like it's not so much better that I'm like, oh, they're gonna cakewalk all over them.
No, but if you throw Joseph and Sabonis, it'd be the best two players if those are on the court with those five guys. Probably. Yeah, maybe probably. Joseph. Maybe not Joseph. But he'd be up there. The next
two or three are all Bucks.
Yeah, but the bench unit, it's kind of the same thing of like when you play a team that's top heavy. It's usually the best two guys can usually beat the next three or four best guys on the court.
I would hope. But, you know, it's not easy. They have an okay bench.
No, it's not easy.
They shoot absurdly good from three that first game. Like, that's not going to happen again.
No, it's not easy. But if you have Vic to keep the game close, yes, with the starters, then the bench can kind of maybe carry you a little bit and take you to the lead. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, they shot 46 threes, and everyone's just like, oh, man, how do you even stop that?
Yeah, that was interesting to see. That was the biggest thing from the first game, right, is that the Bucks shot this, like, they took basically no bad shot, and they basically took a bunch of long twos.
They still shoot over 40 a game. Crazy.
But the thing is, I wonder if the Bucks give the Pacers long two, especially at home, where you're more likely to make them, they just win this game just simply because they just make 60% of their long twos.
Yep.
I mean, what's the number, right? If you shoot 60% of long twos, what's the number you need to shoot from three to make it 40. Even?
40.
So that, and there's a chance that, because you're at home, you could kind of get that balance, because you might, the usually bench guys and other guys that shoot threes on the road aren't as good. Combined with the better shooting guys at home, it's sort of, that could happen, theoretically.
That would be nice. Guess who leads the league in two-point percentage, Adam?
Giannis?
The Milwaukee Bucks.
Milwaukee Bucks. Well, that's because Giannis.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I guess I say 2%. Doesn't Sabonis lead the league in 2-point percentage?
I don't know. That's a good question.
At some point, he did. He was up
but
there.
Let's look.
Sabonis is shooting. No, he's only shooting.
Oh, it's fallen a little recently, hasn't it?
Yeah, only 63% from two. I think he was at 70% at one point. I remember it.
All right, the first guy over 100 minutes. Oh, wow, this is funny. Guess who leads the league in 2-point percentage of guys with over 100 minutes?
I don't know.
Thomas Bryant.
Nice. We just talked about him.
That's awesome. Sabonis is, wow, I had to actually scroll more than I expected.
Recently.
44th, but a lot of guys on the list ahead of him have less than 100 minutes, so it's not fair.
Okay. So that's the thing about NBA stats too. It's such a dumb site sometimes where it doesn't look like you have to filter out all that stuff. Ref.
I'm on B-ball ref.
Okay, on B-ball ref. So that means you have to filter out all that stuff sometimes. It's just kind of annoying.
Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah, it's sort of it's definitely annoying. I guess it's hard to pick who's going to win this game simply because we don't know if it's going to play.
Yeah, we don't. And is there really like a ton of growing pain when you just like swap out Dellavedova for George Hill? I don't think so, but. I mean, there might be a little bit of a change because they have a new guy.
Yeah, I don't know.
Jason Smith, too. Excuse me. How dare I?
I mean, I guess we're seeing growing pain with the bench unit right now at the Pacers, so maybe there is a little bit of growing pains. Maybe, sure. Maybe we should not underestimate the growing pains of bringing in a guy who.
Growing.
I would say Vic hasn't been ruled out for the game against the Bucks.
That's good.
So I don't, I mean, we'll probably find out gets ruled out on Monday with this podcast post, but anyways. Pacers wise, who do you expect to have a good game then if they are win without Vic?
If they are going to win without Vic, another good chance for Sabonis, like you just said. When I named their bench, I intentionally did not get to their backup center because they just traded John Henson, so now their backup center is Thon, who is might as well just be like a picket fence on defense that just opens every time you go at it. So that's easy to score on, just convenient. Actually, Jason Smith might be backup center for them now, huh? But still not a hard guy to score on. So Sabonis again, and then not a lot of speed in the Tony Snell machine. So get McDermott running around off ball, you can get some points there. And the starting lineup, it's harder to find an obvious mismatch. So I'm just gonna keep naming bench players.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think this is like Sabonis's game. Kind of have a really good offensive game at least. You know, this is the kind of where I love to see Turner step up defensively and really be able to kind of prevent Giannis from just destroying the Pacers at the rim the entire night.
Yeah.
Remember last
year? He does okay on him. Remember Kalen's thing about that last year?
Yeah, that's not terrible, but I mean, Giannis still had 37. It's not 30-something.
Yeah, he'll still Giannis it up.
Actually, he only had 26 last time against the Pacers. I thought he had 30.
Only.
Well, I mean, that's about his average. Keeping to his average is what you want, right?
I don't know.
Last time they played Giannis at home, they held him like 18, remember, right? So,
yeah, well, that was the game the Pacers won or played well when Vic sucked last year. They won still.
That's the one where they won by like 13 and they kept Vic in. That's the one with the Vic where he's on the ground and he has the little gif.
Yep, that is accurate.
But I Turner, the last time against the Bucks was a minus 15.
Ugh.
It's mostly minus 16, so it's not like he was any better.
Brook Lopez. Stretch the floor and a good rebounder is like the anti-Turner, right?
Yeah, because that's the problem with the Pacers with Giannis is that they get it kicking. Either they get it kicking around so much that Giannis is just kind of in the middle lane ready to get a shot, a quick pass to score, or he goes in there and kicks it out to like one of 10 guys who just drain it through on them.
Yeah, they're good. Yeah, and they shoot six of them.
I guess the Pacers' goal, I guess, is to what direct the 3-point shot to somebody who's the worst 3-point shooter on their team.
Yeah, right? Like, who would that even be?
In that Lopez, I guess.
I guess. Brogdon is shooting like obscenely well this year.
So Lopez is 36.
Bledsoe Lopez, basically.
Yeah. I think you probably have, you know, want Bledsoe to shoot it. I know you're high on Bledsoe, but I don't think
he's not as a shooter though.
No, I know it's I think Bledsoe's, I don't know. Maybe feel on him as a player.
Yeah. I don't know why I like him so much. Maybe I'm stuck in my entrenchment of what he could be.
Yeah, I think you may also be stuck in his son's peak days.
He's Clippers.
I'm guessing you were a huge fan of that 48 and 34 Suns team.
No, not at all. I don't know how that team won that many games.
Oh, I thought you'd be one of those big fans of it.
They have a ton of guys with holy moly. They have 12 guys who over 40% of their shots are threes.
Yeah, that's their whole coaching design.
Wow, that is wild.
That's the benefit of Coach Bud.
Wow.
it's kind of odd too, because their best player,
and Brogdon isn't even one of them.
Well, it's crazy because their best player isn't even a 3-point shooter, yet they're like a perfect 3-point shooting team.
Yeah, they're one of the, like, remember the thing with LeBron where everyone's always like, just surround him with shooters, and the Cavs were like kind of doing it. The Bucks are like, yeah, we're gonna go all in on the surround Giannis with shooters thing.
Yeah, it kind of, the way I kind of view the Bucks is they're like Houston, except if you make Clint Capella their best player.
Yeah.
Some kind of Clint Capella with a better ability to pass.
Houston's not good. That's for another day, but like,
no, that's for another day. They don't play him again.
Sucks that Houston beat the Pacers twice because they're not that good.
I don't know. I feel like they'll figure it out, but who knows?
I do too.
I mean, you kind of have, they have to play the Jazz twice without Vic. So that's, you know what I mean? But the Jazz are going to figure it out eventually. But man, the Jazz are not good either so far this year.
The Jazz are not good.
I think they lose this game even if Vic plays, unfortunately. But I don't know. I guess if he plays, they have a better shot for sure.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. The Bucks are just good. Like, even if you play good, even if you play well, they be in the game with you. There's a reason they're expected when Lance is so good. So,
yeah.
Everyone without Vic out is like playing up to their best ability, but you have to be even a level higher almost in this game.
The problem is too, if they could beat the Bucks, it would probably put them in a good position to compete for one of the top seeds in the conference. I mean, the good thing that they've been playing without Vic is that they are staying in a chance to compete for a top three seed.
Yeah,
they
are. They're right there. Fourth right now, I believe. One game ahead of the Celtics, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's all very close from Detroit to Philly. It's all within 3.5 games. But, I mean, it's just staying competitive right now. Right? That was
Detroit will fizzle out of there, too.
Which is weird. If you take the actual plus-minus there, I think they are fourth. So Celtics have a better plus-minus than them. Yeah. Or, plus-minus. But, I don't know. I mean, like, it's weird because the Sixers have, like, a plus-2 plus-minus. So they're kind of pulling things out in closer fashion than you'd think. Yeah, I mean, I just mean they, without Vic being able to compete for that top three seed, I think that's the goal, right? If you're a top three team, you can actually win a playoff series in the first round.
Yeah, you have to avoid, like say that you count the Pacers as, like, in your head as the fourth or fifth best team, like avoiding that 4-5 game would be so nice.
Yeah, because then they get to draw probably, like, because I would say.
And you play Toronto round two. Which is,
right, the best five teams are Boston, Pacers, Philly, Bucks, Raptors, and then it's kind of a drop off, I think. Yep,
big. Not,
and really, those top four might be even not better than the Pacers, but the Pacers are, like I said, are without Vic, are managing to stay afloat. So maybe they are as good as we think they are, I guess. Yep. Or better than we think they are.
Good closing.
Yeah.
I think the Bucks win, too. For my one sentence, I also think the Bucks
win. Yeah, good positive. Hopefully we'll get more on Vic later this week.
Yes.
Tony's going to do Tuesday's podcast because he is a former Wizards writer, or is still one. I don't know what he – writes for 30 different places, so who the F knows. Wednesday, I'll do a Bucks preview. Thursday, Tony will do the Bucks recap, you know, covering the game. And then Friday, we'll be back for our weekly show to preview, hopefully, the Sixers and the Knicks game. And hopefully, Vic is playing by then. Maybe, maybe not. Do you want to give your one rumor you heard about Vic?
It's not a rumor. It's a real quote from Vic to Connor Daly, where he said, "I'll be back soon."
When was this said? On Saturday?
Yeah, Kings game.
Okay, so
it's hard to call that a rumor because Vic said it, but like you don't know.
But you heard it from somebody else who said he said it. So really, it is kind of a rumor.
Oh come on! I don't. Why would a cameraman not tell the truth?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe to get the followers on Twitter. Oh,
boo!
What are you writing this week?
I'm writing about why it was a huge deal that Sabonis and Turner closed that game together against the Bulls. For the future of the team, and I'm writing about Tyreek and Corey Joseph. I'm not going to reveal what about either of them.
All right. Kayla was rarely down on the Sabonis Turner pairing. Like, I remember from our podcast. If you haven't listened to our podcast yet, which
I am higher than on it than her. I will say that.
Yeah, I just remember that was the biggest thing I took out of the Pacers.
Even, like, I'll kind of tease what it is. Like, even if it was just one game, like, even if you think they – or I'm sorry. On both sides, like, if you think they have to trade on and you don't think that, like, the fact that they are closing games together is good for the future. You know, that's, in theory, what you'd want it to be.
Yeah, and plus, I mean, you still have to think about an NBA when Durant, Curry – are no longer together.
No longer.
Curry, yeah. Like, is there really a team? I mean, a team going to be in the East that can't compete with like that? Like the Sixers, they probably could if they're playing Simmons and Embiid. The Bucks, they might not be able to, but maybe they can get enough something else out of it to beat them. And then you got the Raptors, who I don't know where they'll be in a year if Kawhi stays or not. So that's what you're kind of looking at, right? And Celtics too, I guess.
Yeah, we're gonna hit the point in like two or three seasons where when LeBron and the Warriors are all gone, where you literally don't know before the season who's gonna be in the championship.
Well, and you hit a point, too, where you don't know what the next step in the NBA is. Like, that's the thing that people don't always see. Like, it was the Pacers' problem before is they didn't see the pace and space coming, and they got stuck with Hibbert, West, and George as a big three, which was really good in 2013 and 2012. But as soon as the league changed, it was wiped off the face of the map within 5 minutes. I mean, within that 2014 season, it went from being – they went from a 26-2 team to not even being able to play with Hibbert in the end of games against the Hawks in the first round of the playoffs. Like, that's what happened in a single season. So we don't know what will happen once the next guys come up and who was for the Pacers. And maybe the next thing is some kind of hybrid form of the former two bigs plus they can stretch at the floor too. And, you know, there's something there, maybe. Who knows?
You would like to hope. That'd be great.
Yeah, you like to hope that. I'm writing about the Pacers' incredible 7-4 record since Vic got hurt. Some of the stats I gave away on this podcast.
I love it.
Most of the stats I gave away on this podcast, but you can read them in better form, better coherent sentences on Indy Cornrows. As always, you can follow our podcast at Locked On Pacers. Feel free to tweet at us during the week, too, if you guys have questions or like that, especially when we're doing our solo podcast. We love to get kind of questions to just answer random things, right? I figured you like that, too, right?
It is fun.
Yeah, it gives something to do a segment on or something like that. So feel free to send questions after games, stuff like that. If there's a question you want Tony to answer or ask a player after a game, he's going to be at the game on Wednesday. Maybe he won't do it, but you can tweet at him at TeasedNBA.
Yeah, I will do that.
maybe. Reasonable questions. Yeah. Reasonable questions. You can follow me at FreeMadam5. As always, leave us 5-star reviews on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you get this podcast. I think we're getting on Pandora soon, too. So I don't know if people still use that. I doubt they do. I don't, at least. But yeah, if you're going to be on that, you should listen to us on that one. That's all for Locked On Pacers podcast. As always, we'll be back tomorrow on Tuesday. Have a great rest of your day.